Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. At long last, we fought through internet issues. Brad is with us live from Vegas. It is the pre-Super Bowl preview podcast. We've got a full squad today because that's the only way to preview it. We, of course, are going to talk about the national anthem. We're also going to talk about the first Usher song and the game, you know, as well. So it's going to be a great podcast. That's right.
The internet here is...
All right, let's do an internet check. Brad is live, boots on the ground in Vegas. Brad, can you even hear us?
Off to a great start.
Not boding well. Not boding well for us. All right, we're going to do everything we possibly can to make sure that Brad is able to contribute. But myself, Judah, Arjun, all here as well. And it is Thursday, February 8th. We're recording this early in the morning. Currently, the Kansas City Chiefs, stop me if you've heard this before, are an underdog in the playoffs with Patrick Mahomes. They're currently plus 110 on FanDuel, +2.5, Niners -2.5. I want your guys' initial reaction to this. And I guess, where do you think this number closes? Do you have any kind of thoughts on where things move, whether it be with respect to the game or player props from here? Drew, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I think this game closes a little bit closer to San Francisco -3, kind of where these lines initially opened on the look-aheads. I think there was a lot of like, oh, you know, Patrick Mahomes is an underdog in the playoffs. Like, we've seen this game before. You bet up KC, and then it kind of trickles back to like, okay, let's take a step back, look at the kind of base rates of where these teams have been for the season. I imagine a bunch of the kind of sharp money is going to come in on San Francisco pretty late. And this line's going to close a little bit closer to 3.
Yeah, that's interesting because I feel like I've seen it hit 2.5. Like, that's like the resistance line, and then it gets immediately bet down back to 2. So you think, like, it'll break that resistance and hit back to 3 on game day?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm interested in kind of the reasoning why. So I have a couple of thoughts here. I was actually listening to Rufus Peabody. I'm sure most of you know who he is, listening. If you don't, one of the more well-respected professional bettors, actual professional bettors, not trading card lore. But he was talking about how the fact that the game is in Vegas, he expects there to be a lot of people to, you know, kind of wait to place their bets till they get there, just to feel the vibe or whatever. Vegas, weirdly, is like the worst place to bet in all the states that's legal because none of the good apps actually work there. But that being said, I do think that's an interesting point. So there's two thoughts that I have. The first is I actually think the opposite of you, Judah. I think that the Chiefs close a favorite here. And the reason for that is I think that we're not seeing people come in with their Chiefs money until the very end, because they believe that there's a chance, you know, more people will pile in on San Francisco and they could potentially get a +3. So I could see, you know, what I would actually think is going to happen is if we see a 3, then people are going to just go, they're going to be ready to pull the trigger. They're going to unload. You're going to see everyone and their mother bet the Chiefs. And I just, this is also partially tied to my belief that the Chiefs should be favored. Like, I think the only place where the Niners have an advantage is at the receiver position. And you know, obviously they have a really good tight end, but so does Kansas City. And I just think it's kind of absurd that, that Brock Purdy is a favorite against, against Patrick Mahomes. I also think that we're going to see a lot of props move up. So if you have some unders that you are circling, I think that there's going to be a lot of opportunity to bet unders right before the game starts. So those are my two kind of predictions. Judah, I'm curious your kind of rebuttal there, because obviously we feel differently about where the game closes.
Yeah, I mean, it's like there's no actual substance to where we think the number is going, in the sense of like, there's something you can point to concretely. It's trying to guess where a market is moving, and it's kind of like you say, versus I say, obviously it's hard to know. I just think this is the bookmakers are going to be comfortable with the kind of three line kind of accumulating positions now, because they think that's actually around where fair value is. Just looking at like how these teams have played, that's kind of my theory. But again, like however much the money influences it and how many people are betting is obviously something that's a little bit unknown. I do also want to like point you, and I think the prop stuff is very interesting. Looking through like Patrick Mahomes' passing prop and his receivers, if you add up the yardage, there's like 60 unaccounted for yards, which I find pretty interesting, which I think it suggests some value on alts for receivers, but also I imagine there'll be some sort of convergence as we get closer to game time. But at the moment right now, there's like a 60-yard gap between Mahomes' passing prop and if you add up all the receivers.
That's just because they haven't opened the Mecole Hardman lines.
Of course. Or Kadarius Tony.
Yeah.
Do we expect to see a Mecole Hardman? Do we think he's going to be active?
I don't think so.
Probably not, because I think they just activated Sky Moore from the IR.
Oh, great.
I think Sky Moore would probably be the Mecole Hardman person. I'm happy to fade him as well, because I think it's just going to run through Rice and Kelce, but. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think he's probably the Hardman replacement.
The Sky Moore, absolutely incredible. One of the props that we loved, we talked about when this line opened, was Kelce. I believe we got it at 64, 65 and a half. It is not quite as high as we thought it would get to. It's currently 72 and a half. But let me tell you this, it ain't going lower. So if you are keen on that, I think that's probably true for a lot of these, right? Like, I don't think Rice is going lower. I've seen, amazingly, some real Marquez Valdez Scantling love, not just from our guy Eric Eager, but more broadly, which means we can only be in for a real treat. Anyways, we'll get to locks in a second. I know Brad is still fighting with the internet, but let's talk briefly about any injuries. I know that Joe Tooney did not practice. We talked about did not play. The previous game, Trent Williams did not participate, but that was just rest. Kittle dealing with a little bit of a toe injury. It seems like most of the teams are healthy. Does the Tooney thing impact your guys' view? Are there any other injuries that impact your view on this?
Yeah, for me, it doesn't really do it. I think Allegretti's a fine backup. He's had that Super Bowl experience before where he stepped in for injured players. I think that was in the Bucs Super Bowl. You know, the Niners, I think, like, you're really just worried about Bosa and Chase Young. I mean, Young, like, rushing the passer is fine. Like, stopping the run is a different story. But I'm not, like, too worried about Javon Kinlaw or Arik Armstead. Like, I don't think they've made as much of an impact as I would have thought. Like, even last week, Jared Goff had time to throw in the pocket despite Jonah Jackson being out, which I think he plays the same position as Joe Tooney. So not too worried about Allegretti. And I mean, especially with Mahomes, like, you know, with his sack avoidance, I think it won't be as much of a problem.
Yeah. I'd also, kind of similar analysis there a couple weeks ago. If anything, like, it incentivizes the Chiefs to run less, which I think is a important thing for the Chiefs offense. And to Arjun's point, I trust Mahomes' sack avoidance. And we're not talking about like going from a dominant left tackle to, you know, against a star edge player. It's a guard. These things are maybe going to influence 2, 3, 4 plays at the end of the day. And I think Mahomes is good enough to overcome that.
I couldn't agree more. All right, let's get into the last SGP builds of the season. We only have one game, so there's no curiosity on where you're going, but I'm sure you have a couple of ideas here, Judah. So I'll let you rip one last time on SGPs.
Yeah, I have to say it's a little disappointing. I really tried to dive in for many angles. There's not a ton that I love, unfortunately. But I do think my favorite play is going to be a Brandon Ayuk SGP, a build around. I think a lot of the kind of narrative now is, oh, Kansas City's been really good against wide receiver ones. They're going to filter production, blah, 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 blah. Not like Kansas City wouldn't be good against wide receiver ones if they played the San Francisco 49ers and Brandon Ayuk every week, especially for a team which plays a bunch of man coverage. We've talked about this a lot and kind of the research that Arjun and I did, which effectively states that in man coverage, especially so more than zone, the better wide receiver cornerback will win out. In general, the Chiefs have had the advantage at cornerback. That's not really true against Brandon Ayuk, especially in man coverage. He's our best separator in man coverage. Obviously, a lot of that has to do with Kyle Shanahan, but that's irrelevant for this particular game. I expect that in this particular matchup, the 49ers and Brandon Ayuk are the ones who are going to have the matchup advantage. And I think a lot of, certainly in terms of the props moving, there's a lot of talk of like, oh, L'Jarius Sneed's going to be on Brandon Ayuk. That's advantage Brandon Ayuk, especially if they're going to play man coverage. His props are too low, I think, frankly. And I can certainly see him having a huge day building around Brock Purdy. And I don't think that is game script particular, which I think can lead to some interesting builds. If you want to throw in a spread as in there as well.
I don't know if you can, I think you are not allowed to SGP this in a lot of places, but you can look at like longest reception as well. I think it's 24 and a half. But you can get Ayuk, for example, you know, 100 plus, at least at FanDuel, that's over 3-1. I think the big play makes a lot of sense in terms of what the Niners are going to need to try and do. So like that a lot. I generally have viewed this as a Debo game. I think that Debo gets a bunch of touches. I think he gets a lot of runs, actually, to try and kind of take advantage of some of the Spagnuolo aggressiveness. But I think to your point, everything that I've said right there is proof of the kind of ignorance of Brandon Ayuk and how good he's been.
One other data point that I should mention, it's like the target share in man versus zone. It's Ayuk's getting 30% and Samuel's getting like 18%. Granted, when it's the Chiefs are a man-heavy team, it's still probably going to max at around 50%, relatively speaking. So it's important to note that it's not just like, oh, Brandon Ayuk's going to get all of the targets. But I do think it filters an extra 2-3 his way. And there's certainly a huge discrepancy between those two guys in man versus zone.
So not worried about the L'Jarius Sneed impact. I don't think they have allowed over 75 yards to a wide receiver one this year. Now, they have faced some good receivers. Brandon Ayuk has been obviously really special. But I guess when you think about that, Judah, someone comes back and says, okay, well, like, hey, there have been some other good wide receiver ones that they've faced, and they've kind of shut them all down. You think this is just Ayuk is better, or kind of what's your view on that?
Yeah, I think Ayuk is better, and the Niners are an entirely different beast than every other NFL offense. They've been a historically good offense. I think if you're going to use the base rates of the rest of the league, you're just kind of missing the like point in the distribution where the Niners lie. And you can effectively throw most of it out the window, I think, or at least relative to expectations, which is like, oh, if we're taking the base rate of what the Chiefs have done on defense this year, and using that to make our prices, I would say that's kind of irrelevant because the sample would look entirely different if they played the Niners for 17, 18 games.
Makes sense. Okay, so you're thinking Ayuk, you combine that with Purdy, maybe a Niners alt spread. How are you thinking about that build?
Yeah, I think especially on points bet where you can add receptions, it's particularly appealing. If you get like a 7 for 125, even is like 20-1. If you want to throw in some pretty stuff, some spreads, I think that's kind of an interesting core build that I'll be interested in. It might even be correlated, George, to what you're saying of like Deebo Samuel rush yards. If Ayuk's going, if they want to get Samuel involved to try and use this big play ability, and Ayuk is kind of the main target on the wide receiving end, I certainly can see them giving a bunch of carries to Deebo Samuel. I think there are a couple of interesting kind of ways you can go about telling the rest of the story, but it's certainly my core angle and certainly the contrarian one, I think.
Okay, so that's angle number one. What else are you thinking?
I would go, I think there's a case to be made for each of the kind of running back plays that we've been making recently in terms of a either Christian McCaffrey or Isaiah Pacheco having big games in losses just because of how bad both of these rush defenses have been. Those are both plays I'm interested in. It's kind of hard to do that with McCaffrey because his prop right now is at 91 is the last I saw. So I would have to lean Pacheco here. And then maybe even a Pacheco receiving play and kind of telling the story of, I don't know why this is the one that comes to mind, but a Mahomes no sack, which is probably my favorite individual leg, or just a cheap drop, take a sack, which I think is actually very correlated with Isaiah Pacheco receptions and receiving yards, because that is generally who Mahomes is looking to when he's scrambling, is going to be the running backs. I think that's an interesting SGP build. But there, unfortunately, and I really wish it were different, this is just not a game where I particularly love the SGPs. And of course, don't want to force too much if it's not there.
Yeah. I think that is interesting, though. That angle is the same one we played with the Bills, right? And you know that kind of was working out. Now obviously they didn't, they didn't quite get there with James Cook, but overall had the rushing, ability to get both of those over with Allen and a running back, and then obviously lose the game. It's funny. I've watched diligently get up every single morning, and I've heard the same thing every single time, which is, the Niners' only chance of winning this game is to run the ball with Christian McCaffrey, no matter if it works or if it doesn't, just to continue to run, never to stop, to commit, full stop, and to run with him 25, 30 times a game. I guess you've been pretty vocal about, you throw to win. You've had some good tweets on it. Do you think, that's something that kind of happens in this game? Or do you think Shanahan comes out and says the world is going to think that I'm going to run with McCaffrey and I'm actually going to throw with my guy Brock?
Yeah.
I don't know.
one thing on this. Sorry, Arjun.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah. And then I would be curious both of you guys' thoughts here. That's the last SGP build I think is probably my favorite, which is if you combine Brock Purdy alt attempts with Brock Purdy passing yards in a big Niners win and basically play the angle of the Niners are going to pass a lot with a bunch of success. Because they're so good on offense, and they'll beat the Chiefs, who are kind of depressing the prop prices.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. I think one of the things I'm worried about is that Shanahan kind of sees what Spagnuolo did to Tua, did to Lamar Jackson, and he gets a little bit scared of putting the ball in Brock's hands in this big moment. He's still a second year guy. Spags' defense are pretty hard to diagnose pre-snap, and instead he comes out with a heavy rush attack, running on first and second down, putting the Niners in third and long. I think that's kind of my worry. I think at times we've seen Shanahan let Purdy rip the ball. Even that Lions game when they were down, they were still throwing the ball. In the Packers game, they were throwing the ball. But I think there is an element of conservatism to Shanahan, right, that we all know and we've known for a lot of his tenure. And even though they've had one of the most efficient passing attacks with Jimmy or with Purdy, they still run the ball at a high rate. And so I worry just a little bit about his mentality going in. I'm not saying that he's going to be scared to throw it. I just think that because it's Purdy's first time in this big game, and he has, McCaffrey, who he values so much, I feel like he might lean on that a little bit more. But I could be completely wrong with that sentiment.
Yeah, the thing that I'm, I was talking to Ben Stockwell, who one of the smarter football people out there. Many people don't know who he is. He's the man behind the PFF grading process and runs that entire team. And we're talking about the way that Shanahan sets up his game plan and how his initial set of plays is really meant to identify what the opposing team is going to do in certain situations and try and find someone to kind of target. And, you know, I think that what he's going to be looking for from a weakness standpoint is how do I get either those two linebackers or Drew Tranquil into coverage and take advantage of them. And so, you know, to me, that is the opportunity. And you think about, okay, let's say that he does find that. What is he then able to do? Right. And so I think, you know, what that enables him to do is really open up the middle of the field. That's Ayuk, that's Kittle. You know, I could see putting together something around two of those guys having really big games and one guy not. So potentially going with like a Samuel under and then, you know, changing it up and, you know, doing sort of a round robin with that, I think would be interesting. And I also think you can look for that live to try and understand, you know, is he able to sort of figure that out? And if not, maybe he does lean on McCaffrey. But you can be sure that first, you know, sequence of plays right there, it's going to be pretty balanced and they're going to try and figure out what, you know, what's going to actually happen when they do certain things. Okay. Any other thoughts, Arjun, on those SGPs? I guess which is your favorite build if you had to put one together?
Yeah, no, I love the Ayuk one. I know earlier in the week I was saying, you know, it was just Snead's probably going to shadow, and he has been one of the best ones shadowing. But I think, you know, offense kind of really dictates who wins these matchups. And even though there have been some really good receivers that have been slowed down by the Chiefs' defense, I don't think any of them have had a schemer as well as Shanahan. And like that adds just a completely different dimension than saying, oh, Devontae, go win a one-on-one with like no other route concept behind you. And I think like Ayuk is going to have that. He's going to have the benefit of like all the motions and disguises that the 49ers do on offense, which puts a lot more strain on opposing defenses. And like Judas says, I think we typically find that the better receiver wins in a lot of these things. And a lot of our metrics say that Ayuk is one of the best. So I would go with the Ayuk SGP build if I had to pick.
I like it. I do like that one, especially because it's different. I think the CMC over maybe combined or attempts parlayed with the Chiefs victory. At that angle, I think is destined to hit here at some point. We've been on it for a little while. It is inversely correlated. So that's definitely one that I'll be putting together as I struggle to find a sports book that has any sense of what's going on in Las Vegas. All right. We will get to locks in just 1 second. Before we do, DraftKings, the leader in fantasy sports, just dropped a brand new app. It is called Pick Six, and you can play it just about anywhere. It's the newest way for you to get into fantasy football action with DraftKings. Just pick between two and six NFL players. Choose if they're going to have more or less of a particular stat. For example, do you think that Brandon Ayuk is going to have more or less than, say, 62 and a half receiving yards? They also allow you to then put that together with a bunch of other player more or less stats. And then you can win up to, like, I don't know, 20x, 30x, 40x, your deposit or your wager. Track your lineup and compete against others for a huge shot at cash prizes. You can actually play in tournaments as well. It's really, really cool. It's kind of a different take on some of the other apps that you've seen out there that allow you to do this. There's kind of a bigger payoff opportunity with what they're doing at DraftKings. So I definitely recommend that you check it out, especially if you're in a state that does not have legalized betting. It's probably the closest way to approximate some of the concepts that we just talked about. So download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now. It's an app. Use promo code PFF when you sign up. That's promo code PFF. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 app. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Valid only in states where DraftKings Pick 6 operates. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, please visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void or prohibited, see terms at pick6.draftkings.com. Also, on pff.com right now, most teams are out of it. So go use the mock draft simulator used, not just by the avid fans out there, but also used by teams. A lot of GMs out there that use it to prep for their drafts. And there's a reason. It's the most accurate. It's the fastest. You can do trades. They're super realistic. Brad, who can't speak right now, spends an inordinate amount of time making sure that trade values are perfectly in line, and that you actually get a realistic experience when you're trying to make a trade. So you can go get full access, unlocked access to the PFF mock draft simulator for 30% off with promo code MDS. And that, of course, unlocks every other part of the site as well. So fantasy betting and all of our great content at pff.com. All right. Locks of the week. Brad, with us in spirit, has sent in the locks that he likes. So we'll kick it off with Brad's first, which is over 47.5. That is the total. I was actually going to mention this bet as well, because I like a slightly different angle on this, which is potentially pairing an over with a live bet. So I could see both teams from a scripted perspective getting off to a great start. We've seen the Chiefs get off to great starts and then basically clam up and, you know, go into hiding. So I think you may get an opportunity to get a live over of, you know, a little higher than that, grab the under, and then, you know, have just a better number there. So you could also take the over right now, although 47.5 is high, and get a little bit of a middle if you take that angle. But Brad's first is Chiefs Niners over 47.5. Arjun, you're next.
Yeah, I like that one also, and I like the angle of betting the under live. So one bet that I really like, it's a team prop bet. It's total yardage of the Kansas City Chiefs touchdowns under 35.5. Honestly, like I don't really understand how they came up with this line. I'm thinking like it could just be something with they think the Chiefs are going to put up a lot of points. But you look at the three playoff games, a lot of their touchdowns, all their touchdowns have been 22 yards or under. On the season, their median yardage for the sum of their touchdowns and throughout the season is 18 yards. Like, they're not a team that scores a lot of big play touchdowns. The average yardage is 34.1. And as we know, like, you know, the mean is skewed by some of these larger outlier games where they might have had one big play, but even the average is under 35.5. The median is like nowhere close to 35.5. In the regular season, the Niners allowed the fourth fewest explosive plays. So I think, like, from that perspective, they are going to try to put a cap on the Chiefs' offense. And so, yeah, even if the Chiefs score three or four touchdowns, I think all of them are going to come inside the red zone. And a lot of the touchdowns have been inside the five, just those three-yard rushes by Isaiah Pacheco or, you know, a 10 or 11-yard pass to Rashee Rice. So I think just in the playoffs, recency, and what's happened throughout the course of the season, I really like Chiefs' total yardage on touchdowns under 35.5 DraftKings.
Like it.
Using a kind of similar logic there, I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs to run the most plays in this game at -102. Just looking at the base rates of how many plays these teams have run per game, the Chiefs are at 65.1 and the Niners are at 61, yet the Niners are favorites here. And I think it kind of speaks a lot to what Arjun was talking about, of a lack of kind of the Chiefs explosive games or explosive plays. They tend to kind of march down the field, have a bunch of long and extended drives. I think the Niners, especially if we're talking about kind of offense defeating good defense and driving most of the play, I imagine they will continue to have a bunch of their explosive success. And if not, if the Chiefs defense really is going to stop Brock Purdy, I imagine that's going to be, I mean, a lot of incompletions and very few sustained drives. And the Chiefs can kind of control the game in that way. I think the Chiefs certainly will win this game if the defense really slows down Brock Purdy. But I kind of, no matter how this game script goes, I think the base rate is just that the Chiefs are going to or should be favored to run more plays. And right now the Niners are the current favorite.
That makes sense. All right, my first one is Brock Purdy over 12.5 rushing yards. We talked about this last time. So he has, I've mentioned this a few times actually, that he has an incredibly fast 10-yard split. Actually, it's very close to Lamar Jackson's. That's not necessarily the reason that I like this so much, though. I think there's a combination of two things. The stickiness of the coverage on the outside for the Chiefs, I think that at least for a couple of plays will force him to make a few decisions to pull it down. And the second is the, I think this is the Spagnuolo blitz package and the fact that they play man coverage. So obviously in man coverage, you've got the defender's backs turned. I think you saw him leverage his legs in the Lions game. So I think that's it's a sneaky opportunity. I also think that the Chiefs, you know, I think they win this game. So I think Neal's not something I'm super worried about with Purdy. The one concern that I have on this, honestly, is that the Niners are conservative at the end of the half and decide to like take some knees at the end of the half if they have it. But I'm willing to take that chance. 12.5 over Brock Purdy rushing yards is my first lock suggestion. All right, next, Brad has Debo 100+ rushing and receiving yards combined. That is +190. I'll just kind of tag team here. I really do think Debo rushing is an interesting angle here. I think everyone is talking about CMC from a running back perspective and running the ball, and rightfully so. In big games, they give Debo Samuel 3 to 5 carries. And he looked incredibly healthy. I think he is a unique piece, more so from a running perspective. I think it will throw wrinkles into what is going on. I think he will put Debo in positions where the Chiefs are not expecting him and then give him some handoffs. So I do like that angle. I like over rushing as well. Arjun, what's up?
Yeah, my next play is going to be Juwan Jennings. First reception longer than 10.5 yards. Now, okay, look, this is going to be very sweaty. Juwan Jennings only has 25 catches this year, so he's averaging basically like just one catch per game. But 13 of those 25 catches have come on third down. Typically, third downs, when he's getting targeted, it's going to be a third and long situation, which means when he's catching the ball, it's going to be further down the field. And if you do watch like the 49ers offense, a lot of his catches are kind of those over the middle of the field in contested catches situations. And he's going to get looks because I think, again, with how the Chiefs play in man coverage, they might run some one double on Ayuk. They might be, you know, putting more of an emphasis on stopping Debo, which leaves Jennings in one-on-one situations. And I was looking at Judas Graff, the separation and Yak, and he shows up at least above average in terms of separation. And again, this is one where like I don't really understand how they came up with the line. I'm assuming I did my code correctly. His median yardage on his first catch in any game is 17 yards and the line is 10.5. So again, he's getting targeted down the field. His like on average, you know, or the median of this distribution is 17 this season. So I think it's a good bet. And I think with all the man coverage the Chiefs will play on third down, there's going to be one play where he's the target guy. And I think, you know, it'll be a third and long situation where he gets targeted down the field.
Jude, where are you going next?
Yeah, this one getting a little exotic here. Even had to drive to New Jersey for this one. Wow. But it's a FanDuel special of player with the longest air yard catch, MVS at it's +900, I believe. I think this is a pretty kind of simple analysis of MVS is average depth of target is 18.4 yards. The only guys ahead of him are Jalen Hyatt, Trey Tucker, and Chris Moore. These are obviously just deep ball specialists, and that is MVS's role. He's going to take the top off of defense. Certainly on the Niner side of things, they might have a bunch of huge plays, but very rarely is that a kind of 45-yard air yard type of pass. It's more of a 15-yard crosser and after the catch type. And MVS certainly has that role for the Chiefs right now. Justin Watson could also make a compelling bet here, but in the playoffs, he's kind of been around a 40% snap guy, whereas MVS has been a 95% snap guy. He's going to get, you know, a couple of those deep looks. I imagine he's going to have the highest air yard passes, and he's right now like at the 7th or 8th best odds at +900. Again, not really sure how this market was made, but one I really like.
Yeah, that's a great call out, because they've been throwing him the ball a little bit more. If he just catches it, right, I think there's a real opportunity there. Out of curiosity, what is Justin Watson in that market?
I gotta double check that. I think it was like 13-1. Something like that, I would be fine with that also.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting one. All right, my next one. So we've talked about The Travis Kelce angle. So I think his receiving yards prop now 72.5, given that we bet that at 65.5, I believe. Not my favorite. However, if you're going to bet Travis Kelce over, I would bet Travis Kelce to have the most receiving yards in the game. That's plus 260 on DraftKings. Pretty simple analysis here is that he looks like he's taken some supplements, let's say, some homeopathic remedies perhaps, and he's got a little juice in his step. The coverages that the Niners run, predominantly a lot of zone coverage, I think really will allow Kelce to find some spots. If he was able to do what he did against Kyle Hamilton, Roquan Smith, and Patrick Queen, like, I don't think he's going to have an issue doing this against the Niners defense. So we saw what they were able to do last year against the Eagles. They came up with a game plan that put Kelce in a lot of advantageous positions. Given how he's looked recently, I think he should certainly be the favorite. He's not actually to have the most receiving game yards in the game. I would much rather bet plus 260 on this than his over 72.5, which, by the way, is the highest in the game. So don't be a sheep. Go bet this instead of the over. T. Kelce. By the way, I also do not think he's going to propose to Taylor Swift after the game. Taylor Swift is not that kind of girl, in my humble opinion.
If I had seen that initial line of minus 250 on the no, I think I would have put my life savings on that.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as I could possibly get down, I would do.
I've seen people who think the opposite, which is a choice, certainly. All right. Brad's next one is Brock Purdy over 6.5 consecutive completions at plus 125. I think the analysis here is pretty straightforward. Brock Purdy is Joe Montana. And you're getting a plus price on young Joe. Arjun, where are you going next?
Yeah, my next one is a prop I've been doing a lot of work with in the Discord. It's a first drive catch prop, and it's Rashee Rice plus 100 to record a catch on the first drive. I would bet this at FanDuel, where it's plus 100. It's under the quick bets section. Analysis for this. I mean, really, Andy Reid's been getting the ball in Rashee Rice's hands early and often. I think in all three playoff games, Rashee Rice has a catch on the first drive. And especially in the last two I've seen, we're looking at him like on screen passes. We're looking at him on kind of like these quick slants. Like, they are making it a focus to get him the ball. I would have liked Kelce, but his is minus 120. It's not something I really want to lay juice on. And I think the Niners, you know, just particularly good at stopping tight ends. I think the Chiefs will attack the corners early and often. And on the year, this is actually, like, you know, he's been hitting this below 50%, but I looked in the last 8 weeks, and he's had a catch in 5 of the 8 weeks, which is 62.5% of the time. The implied odds we're getting here is 50%. So I like Rashee Rice. I think they're going to get him involved often and early. And I think first catch drive plus 100 is my way of attacking that.
Yeah, I like that. Judah, where are you going next?
Yeah. Debo Samuel method of first touchdown to be a rushing touchdown at plus 800. I think this is probably my favorite bet here. We've got no touchdown scores, minus 210, receiving touchdown plus 250, rushing touchdown plus 800. If we take the no touchdown scored market to be implied to be true, which I don't think it is, I'd actually make it a little higher. That would mean we need a 30% chance of Debo Samuel's first touchdown to be a rush as opposed to a pass, as opposed to a reception. And I think it is way higher than that. Over the last, I don't know, 3 years maybe isn't the right sample because Christian McCaffrey was not around in 2021. But even just taking the past year and a half, I think receiving touchdown is like one more than rushing touchdown. This is like exactly the type of game script, I think, where Kyle Shanahan uses Debo Samuel in the red zone. I mean, does it plenty. He had 9 carries in the red zone this year, not to mention, obviously, the big play threat that Debo Samuel represents. I don't know if this is going into the line, but like, if you look at his recent games, Samuel hasn't been rushing a bunch recently. I think that is a function of the Week 18 game. He got hurt in the wild card week. Was obviously banged up in the divisional round. He's obviously going to be a full go for the Super Bowl. I anticipate that he will get plenty of red zone looks, and it, certainly so as a runner at plus 800. This is, I think, my favorite bet on the board.
What book are you getting that at, by the way?
FanDuel. We've got a popular Deebo Samuel method of first touchdown.
That is, I love that, especially if you combine that with like what we just talked about around, you know, him getting some run in the run game, is pretty exciting. So sack props. I don't know if we talked about the first sack prop. I actually don't see that anymore. So I don't know if you guys have it somewhere. I do love that. I do love that one. But the one that I want to talk about here is both teams to record a sack, which is plus 350 and 49ers under 1.5 sacks. Maybe they get to Mahomes once. I think getting to him twice is going to be a little tricky. Now, why am I worried about this? I'm worried about this because Juwan Taylor is ass. Juwan Taylor is terrible. Why am I not worried about this? Because Andrew Wiley was terrible last year too, and it didn't matter. Hassan Reddick was nowhere to be found. They know that Nick Bosa is very, very good. They know that Juwan Taylor is very, very bad. I think that is the handicap. The other one that I think is really interesting, FanDuel has this, which is fastest sack in seconds.
Yeah.
You kind of take that thought and then, you know, say, okay, how are they going to, you know, how are sacks going to happen and who's going to get these sacks? I think there are a couple of interesting angles. I would look at the Chiefs and I would look at the fact that they blitz. Drew Tranquil in the divisional round had 4 pass rushes. In the conference championship, he had 9. Drew Tranquil is not very good in coverage. I think they are going to rush him quite a bit as a blitzer. The other player that I think is really interesting, right? Think about how they have, how the Chiefs have kind of leveraged this sort of slot player in the past, right? Who's the slot player in this situation? For them, I think this is going to be obviously Trent McDuffie. Yep. So I like either of them. Now you can get Trent McDuffie at, where is this here? He is at 22-1 and Drew Tranquil is at, where is he? I just lost him.
He is 8-1. Yeah.
Yeah. So I like both those. I think that is, everyone's going to bet, you know, Nick Bosa, Chris Jones, whatever. I think the fastest sack comes on a great blitz from Spagnuolo, and I think it's McDuffie or Tranquil. All right. Moving right along. We have Brad's last one, which is most receptions, Rashee Rice, 2-1. I don't think there is any analysis needed. He has been sharing basically the lion's share of the targets with Kelce pretty evenly. So he's going to probably get a lot of run here. All right, Arjun, any more for you?
Yeah, I have one more. I was going to say, I really like the Trent McDuffie 22-1. That was one that I was looking at, I was going to talk about. So I'm glad you brought it up. The 49ers have the 5th highest pressure rate allowed to slot blitzes this season. It's only like a 37-38 play sample, but it is a pretty high pressure rate. You know, because Brock Purdy is Joe Montana, you know, that pressure rate hasn't really translated to sacks, and there's only been like a 2% sack rate. But, you know, the fact that they are getting pressure, I think, is more relevant here than, you know, getting sacks, which can just be fluky depending on who the person blitzing is. So I think McDuffie, I really like that bet. That would be the one I'd bet instead of Tranquil. But yeah, my last bet is going to be Patrick Mahomes under 0.5 interceptions. Look, he's just been a master at not turning the ball over and not putting the ball in harm's way. He has, I think, no turnover worthy plays this postseason. He only has like 2 sacks on like 38 pressures. I don't think he's thrown an interception since the 2021 Bengals game either in the postseason. And I think a lot of, you know, what this Chiefs offense is not turning the ball over and letting their defense kind of not lead them, but like be a bigger factor than in years past. And so I don't think you're going to see a lot of plays where you're asking him to throw the ball further down the field. Even when they're losing, I feel like it's going to be a lot of kind of like safer throws. And so the one kind of like problem I see with this, the 49ers do have one of the highest turnover worthy play rate forced on opposing quarterbacks. But again, I think this market is kind of more dictated by what Mahomes does versus what the Niners defense has done throughout the course of the season.
Judah, any more for you?
I'm all out.
Okay. I am too. It is time to talk about the national anthem. We have done a lot of research. This trio watched multiple, say 10 or so videos of people singing the national anthem. The over-under right now on Bet Online, minute 30 and a half seconds. This would make it, if it goes under, the fastest national anthem ever since they started recording it, and that was in 2007. Kind of recent fastest one was Mickey Guyton in 2022 at a minute 35. That was the over under, and she ended up going a minute 52. Billy Joel went a minute 30 on the dot in 2007. So that would be, you know, basically be tied for the fastest. By and large, these are around the 2 minute range. Chris Stapleton went under 205 last year at 201. Now, Reba McEntire has sung the national anthem twice in the past. It was a minute and 19 seconds at a charity softball game. And in the World Series in 1997, in a very, very cold, I believe Yankee Stadium, she went a minute and 23 seconds. We watched a decent amount of country singers. Of note, I think Kelly Clarkson came in at a minute 34. She obviously can belt it. Carrie Underwood at a minute 41. She obviously can as well. The Dixie Chicks came in at a minute 33. They are obviously country singers as well. They were able to carry out some notes. Jewel, interestingly, came in at a minute 27. I think she was the fastest of any of the ones from a tempo perspective. So look, the interesting thing about this is that everyone is betting the over. It is juiced pretty heavily. It is minus 175 for the over, plus 135 for the under. I would be a complete, I feel like, farce if I told people to bet minus 175 on the over. Betting the under is going to be painful. Okay. When I bet the under, when we bet the under as a part of the National Anthem Syndicate last year, and we watched this again last night, I still don't know how Chris Stapleton went under. It's still a mystery to me. I don't understand how he went under. He was just carrying it on and on and on and on. Watching that Reba McEntire rendition at the World Series, I did think she actually carried some notes out a little bit longer than I actually anticipated. I do think she's going to do a little bit more, but I don't know how much more she's going to do. I don't know that she wants to get out of her comfort zone too much. So I'm officially going under minute 35 at plus 135. This is not, I would not say I'm as confident as I was last year with Chris Stapleton, but I think this is the right side of history to be on, under a minute 35. I do believe, now you have to time this right, I do believe you could wait, potentially it moves up, you get an extra second. People, I think, will continue to bet the over because of how much lower it is than normal. Fellas, what do you think about that anthem analysis?
Yeah, I mean, we watched Reba last night. I think like she's not someone who really like holds any of her her notes or her words very long. It's pretty short, straight to the point, which we like. We're trying to watch this game. So yeah, I like it. I wouldn't recommend laying minus 175 either. I think, you know, the fact that you're not really paying any juice for that, I would lean the under as well.
George, I mean, I hate to say this, but I think it's a key part of the analysis. She's not young. Right, we're talking about the 1997 World Series. Oh, she's 68 years old now, right? Wanting to get out of there quick. I think that was part of the kind of like initial handicap is that she was like singing this national anthem in Cleveland in late October, November. Yeah. Like, oh, maybe it'll be a little different in Vegas. She's old. She's going to want to get out of there. I can't even say this with a straight face.
I can't believe that's the handicap. So
one more thing. It's not just the age. I think there's also a cultural element to this, right? A lot of, people are dragging out notes. They're trying to make it a show. The old school, nice and quick, right? Like stick to your pitch. Don't carry out too many excessive notes. I think it's almost a statement of kind of the old school here.
I dig it. Because the flip side of that would be, hey, this is her. You know, she's kind of come back in the spotlight. She's doing The Voice on NBC. This is probably the last big, you know, performance that she's going to do. But you know what? She's Reba freaking McEntire. She doesn't need to take a bunch of chances. People are going to love it no matter what. And so I think, you know, it's one of those ones where, you know, to use a baseball analogy, you just want to get it over the plate. Okay. If you're throwing out the first pitch. Okay. Last one is the first Usher song. Last year, I felt really confident I was wrong. My fiance nailed it. She had Rihanna at Bitch Better Have My Money. Absolutely nailed it. I didn't listen to her. I'm an idiot. I did extensive analysis on this last night. Here is where the current odds are. This was as of last night. My Way is minus 110. OMG, Oh My God, plus 150. Yeah, and Love in This Club are 7-1. DJ Got Us Falling in Love, 11-1. Burn, 25-1. Good Good, My Boo, and Superstar, 30-1. And Boyfriend is 40-1. My initial belief is that it will be Oh My God because of the way that the song comes out. My Way was the other one that I thought made sense, but I just think Oh My God has such a perfect intro that that it makes sense. Now, here's the key thing. I don't love betting plus 150. Everyone thinks that Yeah is going to be like middle of the set, which I think makes sense because it's his biggest song. But Peace Up, A Town Down, the intro, the entire stadium would go absolutely apoplectic if that's how he comes out. So I think there is a little value on Yeah. I don't see this out there, but I personally really like More as well. That's one that I've gotten from my intelligence sources as being one that they could see coming out. So those are the ones that I like. Again, I don't love that OMG is at, oh my God, I can't believe that's saying that is plus 150. Don't love those odds, but I do think it should be the favorite. I think Yeah is really interesting because of the way that the song opens. And I don't know if you can find this anywhere, but I would not be surprised if Alicia Keys comes out and does My Boo. That would be pretty sweet. He's definitely bringing someone out. You guys, I know you are huge Usher fans. Your thoughts on my Usher first song analysis?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't listened to Usher since like 2010, probably. I mean, you know the type of music I listen to. I really can't add anything to this discussion, unfortunately.
Okay. Judah, your thoughts on Usher?
I too am like Arjun, listen to very different music. When you're so deep in the weeds of football and have been since, you know, you were able to speak and watch, who's got time for things like Usher? I will say Yeah is the only song I've heard of. And okay. Brad says it's a lock. So I go with that.
Brad likes it. I mean, the thing that you've got to think about, the way that I think about this is just the way that it opens and the kind of the narrative of the song. But if you listen to Oh My God and Yeah, the opening of both, either one could work. Certainly. So like, I think it's one of those two. I don't see More anywhere, but that one also has a compelling beat and starts, it starts in a good way. So if you can find that, maybe super long odds. Throw a few on there. Okay. Any last Super Bowl thoughts before we get out of here? Brad, anything from you? Brad with us in spirit, managed to get his locks in like an absolute stud. Okay. Here are the lock options. I think you guys put all of these in here. Please correct me if I missed any. We've got from Brad over 47.5, Debo, 100 plus rushing receiving, plus 190. Yacht Brock Purdy over 6.5 consecutive completions, plus 125. Most receptions, Rashee Rice, 2-1. Brock Purdy over 12.5 rushing yards. KC to run the most plays, minus 102. Juwan Jennings, first catch, over 10.5. KC total touchdown yards, under 35.5. MVS, both those minus 110. MVS longest air yard catch, which is almost 10-1 at plus 980. Kelce, most receiving yards in the game, plus 260. Rashee Rice, first drive catch, plus 100. Debo Samuel, method of first touchdown, rushing touchdown is 8-1. Both teams to record a sack, no, plus 350. 49ers under 1.5 sacks. Trent, I think that's plus 110. Trent McDuffie, fastest sack at 22-1. Mahomes under half interception, minus 160. And of course, we're going to throw them in there. Reba to go under a minute 30, plus 135. Yeah, 7-1. Oh my God, plus 150 and more if you can find it. And Brad also threw in a heart. Normally we try and whittle this down. It's the freaking Super Bowl. We're not going to whittle it down. Okay. You've got nothing left. We've got to go however many months without seeing NFL football. Arjun's got the hat on. We will come back. We'll not be here on Sunday. We will do a Super Bowl, post-Super Bowl recap show. Perhaps we'll have some special guests on. Perhaps Brad will figure out his internet by then. Until that point, we love you all. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Go Niners. Peace.